Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Monday, June 22nd, 2020. I'm Steven Jensen. Sorry this is coming a day late. Yesterday, when I normally record the show, which is usually on Sundays, yesterday myself and Jesse Davin had a conversation. It was about 2.5 hours long on YouTube. You can find that on her YouTube channel. Just search Jesse Davin, J-E-S-S-I-D-A-V-I-N. And we basically address a lot of like these allegations and the whole, you know, wrestling community in general, as we're all going through some pretty wild times and some pretty sad times. A lot of allegations being made against a lot of people that are well known in the community, a lot of people losing their jobs. It's something where, you know, I don't want to get into it on this show, but me and her talked for about 2.5 hours about the whole situation and just the whole speaking out, everything going on right now in the wrestling community. And I think we all have to do better just as wrestling fans and as wrestlers and everything to make the community a safer place for everybody involved. So it's something that I'm not going to really address any further here on the Weekender. But if you want to see my full thoughts and hear my full thoughts, as well as the thoughts of Jesse, who, of course, she's a female wrestling fan. So you get two very different perspectives, but what I believe is a very constructive conversation. If you listen to that, there's probably a lot of things that you may not agree with that I say, but there may be a lot of things that you do agree with, and vice versa with Jesse. And I just think it was a good conversation. And it's also why I didn't record the Weekender yesterday, because after me and Jesse talked for about 2.5 hours, I hit up Sean and I was like, man, I'm just mentally drained. Because we talked about a lot of stuff on that show. And some of it was just like really, really depressing as well, to be fully honest. Some of it was very, very good and uplifting, but most of it was, it's just very sad times we're living in right now. And, if you want to see that, once again, that's available on YouTube, and also why I'm just recording this a day late. I apologize for the late upload, but, just timing wasn't right. So, today's episode of the Weekender, I'm going to be talking pro wrestling. We're going to try to keep this lighthearted, uplifting, and maybe a little bit of an escape from kind of the crazy and crazy times and the sadness that we're all experiencing right now in the pro wrestling world. And also, I want to mention the injustices that hopefully become justice. I hope anybody who committed the heinous acts that are being alleged against them, I hope they are they find justice. I hope that any false allegations are also proven as well on both sides. I hope that everybody who did something wrong is held accountable for it. But at the same time, I hope people who didn't do anything wrong, their lives aren't ruined over it. It's a very sticky and tricky situation that we're in right now in the pro wrestling world. And on today's show, I want to try to talk wrestling. Maybe have a little bit of fun here for the first time in a few days. So on today's episode of the Weekender, these are the topics. We have results for GCW. We have results for Impact Wrestling, results for 205 Live. We also have new YouTube content on the National Wrestling Alliance YouTube channel to talk about. We have a recap for the latest Fiend Elite episode titled Take It Home. And I'm going to give you some show and match recommendations as well. So let's just jump right into that. Starting off, my show to watch on IWTV. This is an old show, but it's new to the platform. So the show is Wildside, or it's the company is Wildside, and the show is Fright Night 1999 from Cornelia, Georgia. This show took place on October 30th, 1999, right around Halloween time, which makes sense why it would be titled Fright Night. And this was the company Wildside, which I believe I knew at the time as NWA Wildside. I discovered the promotion, it was kind of in hindsight, I discovered the promotion right after AJ Styles had debuted in TNA wrestling. He was on the first TNA show, and he was the first ever X Division champion, and I remember them mentioning that he was, a champion in Wildside, and I lived in Georgia, and that's how I found out about the company, Wildside. And to me, basically, AJ Styles was, the face of it, because that's how I discovered it. But this show was recently uploaded to IWTV, and these are the matches to expect if you want to check it out. We had Terry Knight versus Andy Anderson. U.S. title match between Romero Bliss and Jesse Taylor. The NCW heavyweight title on the line, Thunder versus Vic Violet versus Ice Pick. Then we have the, you know, guy I mentioned earlier, AJ Styles and Tonja Terrific taking on Rick Michaels and Mark Formichaels. We had Jeff G. Bailey, Kay Crush, Chance Williams, and Bill Barons in the ring. Jeff G. Bailey, it's interesting because in recent years he has been a mentor and manager to Gunnar Miller, who is a pretty well-known wrestler out of the Chattanooga, Tennessee area. Kind of infamous last year with some statements he made about Marco Stunt being a part of AEW. Pretty controversial stuff he said about Marco. But regardless, you know, that's actually how I know Jeff G. Bailey. I know him really for the more recent years because I've followed the career of Gunnar Miller. Also in this match, you know, I mentioned Kay Crush. That is the current day Ron the Truth Killings. So, you know, for those of you who may not have seen, you know, R-Truth wrestling prior to his run in WWE, this was, I guess before his run in WWE as Kay Quick. So, pretty wild side, in fact. We also had Terry Lawler versus Damian Steele, and in the main event, it was a cage match. The Boogaloo Crew, which is, why can I not say this guy's name? J.C. Dadds and Scotty Wren taking on the Sex Pistols, the team of David Young and Rick Michaels. So, once again, this is my recommended show on IWTV. This happened over 20 years ago. Crazy. And yeah, you can check it out. And if for no other reason, you can check out a very young AJ Styles and a very young Ron the Truth Killings here on this show. So I thought it'd be kind of a fun one, kind of an odd recommendation, but since there isn't a whole lot of like new shows going up at the moment, as far as, you know, current time, because of the pandemic and everything going on, you know, I figured I'd recommend a classic here. So once again, that was Wild Side's Fright Night 1999. It's available right now on IWTV. Moving on, I have a free YouTube match you can check out. There still is no new Ring of Honor show as far as, you know, on their website. Normally, they'll have new episodes of new matches, but over the last few months, they've just been uploading basically compilations, you know, best of episodes. So because there's still no new matches to talk about with Ring of Honor, I'll give you a recommended show that you can watch for free on their YouTube channel, and that is a four-corner survival match between Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, and Jimmy Yang. That was from Better Than Our Best 2006. And you can watch that right now for free on the Ring of Honor YouTube channel. It was recently uploaded. Obviously, there's been some legendary matches that involve Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, and Christopher Daniels between the three of them in triple threat matches or singles matches, you know, pairing the, you know, two of the three against each other. Also tag matches that the three of them have been involved in, stuff like that over the years. I mean, just incredible. And then you have Jimmy Yang, which is kind of the wild card here. Jimmy Yang is someone who I honestly believe is a really underrated performer. I really enjoyed his work in WCW during like the dying days of WCW when he was a part of the Young Dragons. He also used the move the Yang Time, which in hindsight, may have been a Phoenix Splash. I'd have to rewatch it. I just remember seeing him do that move and just thinking that like it was like the coolest, craziest move I'd like ever seen when he did it. And I always had a huge respect for Jimmy Yang. I always thought it was strange that they made him do like the Jimmy Wang Yang thing in WWE where he was like the Asian country singer, which, you know, Asian people can be country singers. It was just a strange gimmick because like the guy showed no sign of being a hint of a country artist whatsoever throughout his entire career up to that point or after from what I remember. So interesting gimmick choice for the WWE with Jimmy Yang, but he was always an incredible in-ring performer, and he fit right in with the rest of these guys. So check it out. It's something different, and it's something I think y'all really will enjoy. Once again, that was Ring of Honor's Better Than Our Best 2006 four-corner survival match, which was Samoa Joe versus AJ Styles versus Christopher Daniels versus Jimmy Yang. It's available right now for free on the Ring of Honor YouTube channel. Moving on, we got some results. The first thing we're going to talk about is going to be GCW's The World on GCW Part 2. This show was done outside with fans. And the way that they did it was they had precautionary measures in place for social distancing and stuff. So, like, basically, it was a big outdoor venue, and they're basically out in a field, and fans had, you know, like, picnic chairs and stuff like that, and they would just, they kind of sat and made sure that they were, you know, at least 6 feet away from, like, the next group of people and stuff like that, and it was great. It was really great to see, sorry about that noise there, it was really great to see, you know, wrestling fans at a wrestling show, but also sticking to the precautionary measures of social distancing, and it was a great show, a lot of great talent. These are the matches, or actually the results. I'll give you the results right now. If you want to check the show out, it's available on Fight TV. Here are the results. We had Alex Zane defeating Jimmy Lloyd, Tony Deppen defeating Shane Mercer, AJ Gray defeating KTB, and I also want to highlight with AJ Gray, it was wild because his car was like totaled the day of this show, either the day before or the day of, but I saw pictures in his tweets and stuff about, like, man, like, basically AJ Gray was like, I need to get to this GCW show, but look at my car. And I don't know what happened to get his car into that shape. All I know is the car looked completely totaled. And, you know, the wrestling community came together and people pitched in and raised enough money to help get AJ Gray to the GCW show, where he went on to defeat KTB, and he just continues to become a bigger and bigger name in professional wrestling. I talk about AJ Gray on pretty much every episode of the Weekender. He's somebody that, like, when he gets his chance, it kind of the big show, like, whether it's, you know, in Impact Wrestling or AEW or, you know, NXT or wherever he winds up, I think that he's going to really take advantage of that situation, and he's gonna really, really impress a lot of people. I'm a very big fan of what AJ Gray does. We had Lee Moriarty defeating Trey Lamar, 440H, the team of Ricky Shane Page and Atticus Coger, defeating Second Gear Crew, the team of Mance Warner and Matthew Justice. I'm a fan of all four of the performers in this match, but I am especially a fan of Mance Warner and Matthew Justice. I think both of those guys, I've said it 1,000 times on the Weekender in the past about both of these guys, they are both TV ready. Like, Mance and Matthew Justice could be immediate big time players in a major promotion. They both for completely different reasons are so perfect for mainstream wrestling. You got Mance Warner, who's like this throwback wrestler who wrestles like this old school kind of style, but mixes it in like a hybrid with like the new school, but it's like this old school gimmick and the lariats and light beers and all that stuff. And he's gained quite a bit of size over the last year or two. So I think that, man, he has a character. There's just so much you can do with him, and he can back it up with his in-ring work. And Matthew Justice has the size, the look, the in-ring skill, the mixture of, you know, being crazy and technical. Same with Mance. Like, Mance will do some really crazy stuff, but he can also, you know, do great technical wrestling. Matthew Justice is the kind of guy where you look at him and you're like, oh, that guy is somebody. Like, you see him and you feel like that guy must be an athlete or a wrestler or a movie star or something like that. He just got that look and that presence about him, where I just really think the world of Mance Warner and Matthew Justice, both of those guys. We had a six-man scramble match where Calvin Tankman defeated Zachary Wentz, J.J. Garrett, Cole Radrick, Benjamin Carter, and Gringo Loco. Calvin Tankman's pretty darn impressive for his size. He's somebody I've seen live a handful of times throughout the years, and I'm always impressed with the way that he can move with how large he is. And also from what I've never really interacted with him much in person, but I know people who have interviewed him and stuff like that, and I always hear really, really great things and really nice things about Calvin Tankman. So just kind of through association, I feel like he's a good guy. And not that there's any reason you wouldn't be. It's just, you know, sometimes you hear a lot of great things about certain people, and after you hear it enough times, you're like, man, I feel like I really like this guy. I've never even really met him, but I feel like I like this guy. That's how I feel about Calvin Tankman. Zachary Wentz, we all know, world-class athlete, you know, as far as professional wrestling is concerned, for sure. Does just fantastic work. A couple other people I want to highlight here. Benjamin Carter, he could be the future of professional wrestling. This kid is so good. I've been watching him live for a while as well, especially in like the Chattanooga area, Cena City Invitational type stuff. Benjamin Carter is just, he's just fantastic, and he's only getting better. He hasn't even like begun to hit his prime. And when he gets to hit his prime, which is going to be maybe still a few more years, which is a good thing. Like there's certain wrestlers like Benjamin Carter, like Josh Bishop is another one that I put in the same type of category, where they have so much potential and they have such youth on their side. Like they're both young guys who are getting better at like an increase, like an expansion. I can't even say the word. I can't talk. They're getting so good so fast. We'll put it that way. But you know, it's hard to explain, but it's something where like, if you were to put like Benjamin Carter or like, or I'll use Joshua Bishop as the example again, where like both of those guys, like you could put either of them on a major stage and they're going to do fine. But if you do it in like a year or two, they're going to be like so ready and still have not hit their prime and still haven't really reached their full potential, but you'll kind of see it happen before your eyes on a major stage, I feel like. Like there's certain guys where it's like, I hope, because in wrestling, timing is everything. And I just feel like the time just isn't there just yet for Benjamin Carter, but holy cow, like that time will come. Like, it will for sure come. And when it does, that guy is going to be, I think, incredibly successful in professional wrestling. He just got to wait it out a little longer. But, man, is he talented. And Gringo Loco is a guy who's just, he's just always solid. Like, every time I've ever watched that guy wrestle, it's just like, he does something that I've never seen before. Just does something crazy that I would never think of. So, huge shout out to everyone involved in that match. We had Chris Dickinson defeating the one called Manders. You know, this is basically a hoss fight. Dickinson is, you know, in that upper tier of performer. He's another, like, TV-ready type guy. And Manders is a guy who is just getting better and better by the day and has built a great following for himself in the Southeast. So, Dickinson is a guy who probably would have got signed to a major promotion right after WrestleMania weekend this year had the pandemic not happened. So I do feel really bad for Chris Dickinson, but he's everybody in the wrestling world, especially on like the independent level, everybody knows how good Chris Dickinson is. And then also, like I said, Manders is kind of like the next wave of up and coming guys that can maybe kind of start taking the place of people like Chris Dickinson once they move on to bigger things. After that, we have a matchup between two people I am super stoked on, Blake Christian and Myron Reed. Blake Christian defeats Myron Reed, and both guys, similar to Benjamin Carter, these guys are just so good and so young. Like, it's so exciting as an independent wrestling fan when you get to see guys like this, because you just know These guys are the future of the wrestling business. Like, you know that you're going to be seeing them years from now as major stars and major promotions, and you can look back on matches and times like this where it's like, I knew it from back then, and now we get to see it happen. Like, it's really, really cool. Both guys are super talented. I don't think I've ever seen a bad match between either of these guys. Blake Christian, I'm not as familiar with as Myron Reed, but every time I've seen Blake Christian wrestle, I am super impressed. And Myron Reed is somebody I've seen live quite a few times, especially at Glory Pro in the St. Louis area. Former Glory Pro world champion. So much potential. Actually, my friend Robert Bellamy, aka Mouse, who is, in my opinion, the best wrestling photographer in the world. And that goes for, you know, an independent level, professional level, like whatever you want to say. My favorite wrestling photographer is Mouse. And Mouse is actually the one who, I had seen Myron Reed wrestle before, but Mouse actually introduced me to Myron. We wound up talking for a second, took a picture, And Myron, just a super cool guy. And I can't wait to see what the future holds with Blake Christian and Myron Reed. I think what's going to happen sometime in the near future, both of these guys are going to be like, you know, it's similar to like what I was saying with Manders. There are going to be certain performers like Chris Dickinson and, you know, I honestly believe guys like Vance Warner, Matthew Justice, like guys like Kurt Stallion, War Horse is getting there, if not there already. There's going to be a wave soon, I think, of independent talent going on to Impact, AEW, New Japan, you know, elsewhere off of the independent scene. And when those days come, guys like Blake Christian and Myron Reed, they're going to shine. Super bright. Big fan of both. After that, we had Alley Cat defeating Effie. Two incredibly interesting performers. Alley Cat is also known as the heart and soul of Southern Underground Pro out of Nashville, Tennessee. She is a hell of a worker. She does great against other females, but pretty darn good at the intergender wrestling as well. And I say that because intergender wrestling just really isn't my thing. And of course, you know, Alley Cat versus Effie, that's an intergender wrestling match. But if done, it's hard for me to say done the right way because I'm not a wrestler. I'm not a trainer. I'm just a fan. So I don't want to be disrespectful, but I'm also somebody who covers mixed martial arts professionally. And I know there's obviously a clear difference between mixed martial arts and professional wrestling, but there's a very, very clear reason why men don't fight women in the octagon. It's just, I don't want to get into all of that, and I don't want to come off as sexist because that's not my intention with this, but there's a reason why men don't fight women, and why, like, if a man hits a woman, like, in everyday life, why it's such a big deal and such a huge problem and so unfair, you know? So, like, anyways, as far as in a professional wrestling context, Alley Cat does very, very well, in my opinion, of bringing the believability to intergender wrestling. And Effie is a wrestler who's openly gay, and I think that he's very important to the wrestling community because I know that there's a lot of people that confide in knowing that, like, how Effie is as a person, and they look at him and they're like inspired by it, and they feel better and more comfortable with themselves because they see someone like them out there entertaining the fans, but also being true to who they are as people. So I have a tremendous amount of respect for Alley Cat and Effie. So, you know, and I like the match. They stylistically, it's a very good matchup between the two of these performers. But yeah, if you haven't ever seen either wrestle, they're both very, very unique talents. And then at the end of the show, the main event, we had Nick Gage defeating Spider Nate Webb. I mean, if you don't know these two guys by now, I don't know where you've been. I mean, Nick Gage is, and both of these guys are basically, you know, legends of independent professional wrestling. Nick Gage, one of the first people I think of when I think of, like, hardcore deathmatch type wrestling. Nate Webb is another guy that comes to mind very quickly when thinking about, you know, old school CZW and that kind of stuff. And especially his entrance and his entrance song and you know, Teenage Dirtbag and all that stuff. So it's, like, a really cool matchup and just two veterans of the independent wrestling scene. So really great show, really great to see this done, you know, with the social distancing in mind, because I do still think that's a very important thing right now. and yeah, good wrestling, good crowd, good show. Two thumbs up for everything involved. Loved it. Once again, this was the results for GCW, the World on GCW Part 2. And you can watch that on Fight TV. Up next, we have results for Impact Wrestling. First match was for the tag team titles. The North retained the belts by defeating the Rascals. The Rascals were the team of Dez and Wentz. Finish came when the North hit their finisher on Wentz to get the 1-2-3. The North, one of the best tag teams in Impact Wrestling history, in my opinion. They have just been solid from day one as a team. I love their work. I love their double team moves. I love their gimmick. I love everything about what the North does. And one thing that Impact Wrestling has done very well with historically, especially the last handful of years when, you know, some of the booking has been, you know, questionable to say the least. But they also have a lot of good booking. I got to be fair, especially lately. I think their booking has been great for the most part. But one thing that Impact Wrestling has done for so well for the last handful of years, but once again, like historically, even since the old TNA days, they were good with this. They do a great job of making the tag team titles feel valued, because we see a lot of long title reigns. You know, I believe the North defeated LAX for the belts, if I remember correctly. I could be wrong, but I think that's what happened. And at the time, LAX had been the champions for a long time. The North has had the belts for a really long time now, too. I feel like they've had the belts for, like, I mean, probably around a year or so. I may be exaggerating a little bit, but, I mean, it's been a long time. And I love it. It's totally warranted. They both deserve the belts. They're both having great matches. They're both believable in what they do. I love it. And eventually when somebody beats the North, it's going to be a big deal. I love everything about that. And four great performers between the Rascals and the North in this one. After that, Nevaeh defeats Kimberly by pinfall. Gets the win after a twisting DDT for the 1-2-3. After that, Rhino defeats Rahit Raju by pinfall. Gets the win with the Gore. It's still kind of strange seeing Rhino getting these wins over like the young up and coming TNA talent, or Impact Wrestling talent, I should say. I don't necessarily hate him beating Rahit Raju, but Rahit Raju is a very talented performer. I know him better as Hakeem Zayn on the independent scene, more specifically in the Glory Pro promotion I was mentioning earlier with Myron Reed. Up next, we had the TNA World Championship match where Moose retained the title over Hernandez. I like the concept of what he's doing. It's obviously confusing to people who aren't watching on a weekly basis how Moose holds the old TNA World title, but Tessa Blanchard is still the Impact World Champion and just hasn't been on the show. But I do like that Moose is defending this title against former, you know, stars from like the TNA days. You know, Hernandez was a pretty big part of Impact Wrestling in like the early to, oh yeah, from like the early 2000s to like the 2010s. And, you know, good match between two, you know, very large performers. After the match, EC3's music hits, but nobody knows what's happening. And then there's some attacks with the Rascals, Reno Scum, TJP, Fall Ball, all involved. But they're teasing, you know, they're teasing stuff. I don't know if EC3 is going to actually head to Impact Wrestling or not, but, you know, the tease is out there. The next match we had, Reno Scum defeated Team Triple XL. Finish came after a spine buster and a double stomp. And then in the main event, Ace Austin defeated Eddie Edwards, got the win with his finisher, the fold, after a really good match. I mean, it's what you would expect. These two performers are just so damn good in the ring. I like this scenario, too. I like the outcome. I like that Ace Austin won. He's the clear number one contender for Tessa Blanchard's Impact Wrestling Championship. Eddie Edwards was in that position, but due to, like, the pandemic and, like, extenuating circumstances and stuff, he's still kind of in the mix, but, like, Ace Austin is definitely being more highlighted as a title contender at the moment. And I think Ace Austin getting this win over Eddie Edwards, that really establishes him as like, the really, like, the rightful number one contender for Tessa Blanchard. So it's a big win for Ace Austin. Eddie Edwards, solid as always, so that's that. Another good episode of Impact Wrestling. Good booking decisions, you know, solid matches. There's nothing I can complain about with this week's Impact Wrestling episode. And that's multiple weeks in a row now that I've said that. So good on Impact for putting together good shows. Up next, we have 205 Live results. Just have one match, so you know, this is going to be quick. Oney Lorcan defeated Chase Parker. I'm literally just going to read what it says on WWE.com about this match, because this is just going to sum up the entire episode right here. So it says, Oney Lorcan of the Brit-Am Brawlers, you know, his team with Danny Burch, and Chase Parker of Ever-Rise, which has been an up-and-coming tag team in the 205 Live ranks, collided for tag team bragging rights on the Purple Brand. Parker quickly took the fight to Lorcan, but pain remained the greatest motivator for the crazed cruiserweight. Lorcan rallied back and landed a blockbuster to secure the win, but the appearance of Malcolm Bivens distracted the Britannia brawlers. Ever-Rise used the opening to dish out some quick retribution, and the emergence of the Indus Shear led to even more punishment for the weakened Lorcan and Birch. So I had to definitely mention that Malcolm Bivens, who in my opinion is the best manager in professional wrestling at the moment, he killed it on the independent scene. And he's a guy I've talked to in person multiple times. I think the world of Malcolm Bivens, formerly known as Stokely Hathaway, just world class at what he does. And he can provide so much to a tag team like Ever-Rise or anyone else that he's managing. I really want to see him have almost like a Dangerous Alliance type scenario where like he manages a whole stable of people, because there are so many people that could benefit from having Malcolm Bivens as their manager. And I love seeing him pop up on 205 Live, even though I'd like to see him highlighted more, like as a part of NXT more often, or as a part of even like the main roster, because there's a lot of people on the main roster that could really use his help as a manager. And, you know, mainly as a mouthpiece. Is when I say manager, Malcolm Bivens on the microphone is just fantastic. He just is the way he understands his own character and what works and what doesn't. And he can work in the ring too. Did a little bit of wrestling on the indies. So I think it's awesome that we're seeing more of Malcolm Bivens. And that's pretty much all to talk about on this episode of 205 Live. Moving on, we have new content on the National Wrestling Alliance YouTube channel. Since the last time we were here, we have three new videos. One is a new Carnyland. We have an episode of Inside the NWA, episode 5, where they talk about the Mount Rushmore of the National Wrestling Alliance, and they talk about a whole lot of performers that have gone through there. And then we also have a new episode of the Eli Drake Show, where he talks about his own match from 2004, where he looked much, much different. Of these three videos, I would most recommend checking out the Mount Rushmore of National Wrestling Alliance, the Inside the NWA, episode 5. And it's a real blast from the past and throwback to just so many incredible, some of the best wrestlers in the history of wrestling. So, great that NWA is still uploading, new content, even though it's been 4 days. And it is probably worth mentioning, I did see that Dave Lagana was let go from the National Wrestling Alliance due to allegations that have been made against him during the whole Speak Out movement. And I feel like I have to be fair and let everything, play out, get both sides of these stories, let everything play out. But I will say it's a pretty bad sign when somebody gets outright just fired from the company. And that leads me to believe that there is enough evidence proving that they have done the things that they've been accused of. I didn't mention with 205 Live, Jack Gallagher was released from the WWE, similar situation. It's wild. It's wild what's going on. But, if these people did in fact commit the crimes that they're being accused of, then they absolutely should lose their jobs. And I did think it was really interesting to see Dave Lagana, because he's so important to the National Wrestling Alliance brand. Like, Billy Corgan owns the NWA, but Dave Lagana was pretty much the guy doing, everything. Like, he was in charge of so much that had to do with his company, that there must have been some pretty darn clear proof that he had done some messed up stuff that they were going to... because they got rid of him so quickly after the allegations that there must be more to it than like, the public really knows. So that was worth mentioning also. It's going to be really interesting going forward to see how they handle the NWA, because once again, Lagana was such a huge part of it. All right, lastly, we got a recap for the most recent Being the Elite episode. Excuse me, it is titled Take It Home. Episode starts off with the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, and Hangman in line for the bathroom. You hear someone just ripping mad ass from the bathroom while they're in line. Matt Jackson is in the back of the line, and he's like, man, I gotta get to the front. So he blades. He's basically been blading and making himself, quote unquote, bleed, so that basically to use it as an advantage. Like, he's using it in this episode to get to the front of the line. He's used it in past episodes to get out of like business meetings and stuff like that. He opens the door for the bathroom. Nakazawa is sitting on the toilet, and Matt is like, you know, saying he needs Nakazawa to get out because he's bleeding. And then Nakazawa basically shows him the toilet paper after wiping his ass, and he says, "You're bleeding, me too." And it's like pretty disgusting, to be completely honest. That leads into a Young Bucks old school travel montage, and the funniest part about this is they show Brandon Cutler on an airplane. He has the middle seat between Luchasaurus and Brian Cage, which I think is pretty funny. He got stuck between the two largest people on the AEW roster. After that, we see Hangman Page enter the Elite locker room. Hangman tells Kenny he was at the bar, and he's seeing if Kenny wants to come down to the bar and hang out. He says that he saw they had 2% milk there. So Kenny's like, "Yeah, I'll come along." Matt Hardy's like talking about how he likes red wine and he wants to join them at the bar. And then Hardy asks if the Bucks of Youth want to come as well. Kenny explains that the Young Bucks are Christian, and Matt Hardy is all, you know, doing this whole thing where he's like, "Oh, followers of Jesus Christ." And then like Kenny leans in and he's like, "No, the Young Bucks are Christian as fuck." And it's, I just thought the way that he said it was so funny. Just really funny comedic timing with all of that. After that, Brandon Cutler is, you know, behind the camera filming for Being the Elite. Goes up to the Best Friends and says they've had a month to come up with a bit for BTE. And as they're like basically talking about how they still don't have anything, there's like a small amount of smoke because they're basically in like what you would call like the gorilla position in WWE, which I believe they call the dusty position in AEW. They were back there and there's a little bit of smoke from like that kind of came back there and someone yelled smoke bomb, and then Orange Cassidy just like he corpses. He just, it's so funny. He just like starts laughing. It just totally made him like laugh for real. After that, we see Christopher Daniels talking to Kaz, Scorpio Sky, and Tony Schiavone about his colonoscopy. And he just keeps going on and on about it. Kaz eventually tells Christopher Daniels to take it home with the story. Matt Hardy, you know, stops time and then explains how take it home in wrestling terms means to finish the match, like wrap the match up as fast as possible, meaning you're either out of time or you've lost the fans' interest and you gotta get out of there. After that, Colt Cabana comes into a room and tells Kenny Omega that he has a bit idea for Being the Elite. Basically Kenny's like trying to find out where Chris Harrington is. Colt says that Harrington isn't in the building, so Kenny says he's going to kick his ass since Colt isn't being protected by Harrington, and he chases Colt all around, you know, before the AEW Dynamite taping. Colt winds up doing a schoolboy roll-up on Kenny, and Rick Knox counts three, and Kenny's like, "What the heck, like, everybody here can beat me?" Like, it was pretty funny. We get a Spanglish segment. I believe the word was I don't know how to say the word. Santana and Ortiz explain it. I honestly, I'm not digging these Spanglish segments so far. I think they're like, I get a lot of Being the Elite has to do with like being corny and cheesy and stuff, but it just isn't entertaining, I'll just be honest. After that, the Best Friends are all laying on the ground trying to come up with a Being the Elite bit. Chuck Taylor makes some suggestions. He says that they should become pirates, like the Pittsburgh Pirates or the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then he's like, "We can steal the Declaration of Independence, like national treasure." And so Trent's like, "I don't like any of those." And then he's like, "Hey guys, this has been the best year of our lives." And Orange Cassidy's like, "2020? It's just really funny. I can't do the comedy justice, but it really, the Best Friends are great. I love watching their matches. I love watching anything the three of them do. I'm a huge fan of Chuck, Trent, and OC. After that, Private Party is walking down the hall with Matt Hardy, and they run into Hangman Page. Hangman is basically saying that $12 isn't a lot of money, and he'll pay them back, which was basically like the main focus of that whole, all those segments and that whole story that Private Party was doing for the last like month or whatever on Being the Elite. Nick Jackson walks up. He tells Private Party they need to talk. Matt Hardy asks Nick Jackson if Private Party already has heat with the company, which I thought was pretty funny. Nick says they don't have heat, but that the fans hated that whole story that I was just talking about with that whole $12 story. Nick cancels Private Party for being the elite, like, cancels them from the show, and they all think that he's, like, kidding around until Nick tells them that he's dead ass about it, and they're like, then they take it seriously. And then Matt Hardy tells Private Party when one door closes, another door opens, and then we just see Hangman holding on to his $12, like, he's just gonna go ahead and keep it now. And that's that. That's Being the Elite. Once again, the episode is called Take It Home. It's available on YouTube. And that's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Hope everybody has a great week. You can check me out on Twitter at FightTalk_. That's FIGHTTALK_. Until next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.